Beyond the headlines. This is World Insight.
Hello, I'm Tian Wei, and welcome to World Insight. How do you understand a country, a people, a civilization? Well, that is a huge topic. But Wally Sik, the world's largest collector of contemporary Chinese art, has figured out his ways. First as a journalist, then as a business person, after that, Swiss ambassador to China. And the list goes on. No matter what his official titles are, he has made his way to the heart of China. Definitely not through hearsay or theirsay, but through the art of the Chinese. He has donated a huge chunk of his contemporary Chinese art collection to the then-to-be-built M+ Museum in Hong Kong. By the way, the museum now has become a signature component of Hong Kong's West Kowloon Cultural District. Sik is continuing his journey with Chinese contemporary art and help others also feel the pulse of the real China. After supporting the most prominent presence of Chinese contemporary art at the Venice Biennale in the year 1999, he has remained enthusiastic about connecting Chinese artists and Chinese art to the world. This week, I caught up with him at the very beginning of Art Basel Hong Kong. You know, back in the 1980s and 90s, there were back and forth in China's relationship with the rest of the world, into China as often as you can, and also stay with the Chinese artists. Then, when China joined the WTO and really connected with the rest of the world, you were also there, you know, trying to witness every step of the way the changes. And now we are seeing another interesting period of time in which people are trying to rediscover China, if I could use a very diplomatic word. And you are still here. So I guess, how do you make process and observe and try to digest and be able to come up with your own way?
Once I was into it, there was no way out. And of course, it all connected to my professional life, to my private life. So, well, once you are in it, you know, then how other than to go forward and, well, master whatever, you know, the situation would, well, demand. So that curiosity I also have just helped me through every single issue. Of course, now I am much more sophisticated in observing China, and China has become much more sophisticated than it was end of the 70s. And so, you know, both sides kind of learned how to cope with the world and with the other part of the world. So yes, that particularly art helps me to remain involved in whatever happens in China. I think very early it will be visual in art.
If I could quote an artist who just won the 2023 Sik Prize, a prize that you have been supporting in order to encourage more development of Chinese contemporary art. This artist said this in an interview. It was about my personal interest. And then I found out more about how society works. And you just want to try to solve some problems. Maybe it's something you are doing in vain. It's not something you can really solve. But during this process, you get to know yourself more and you get to know your surroundings more. And he continues to say, you want to criticize, you want to reflect, and you want to be an inspiration for others because you always gain inspiration from others. End of quote. A reflection about what went through his mind when he was trying to create art. Of course, he belongs to the younger generation, the latest generation of Chinese artists. So when you were saying they are very different, how do you see, you know, words like these coming from the younger generation?
Well, I see these remarks more as observations by a young individual getting into producing art. And I created actually this art award for very much that purpose he's describing, to have a relevant debate maybe in society about contemporary art, what art should do in a society and all that. So that's what art is very much about.
And what have you seen in the latest works of these winners of the prize? Many works that impressed you?
The artist, a female artist, work with AI and using machine learning, but say impacting the mechanism of the learning itself. So a gaming engine being impacted by another AI engine. So, you know, adding more layers to art creation than one could do earlier. So that was quite experimental.
Is this the way how you communicate with China? By looking through the contemporary art? And also, is this also the way about how you update yourself, you know, to move together with the artists?
For me, the occupation with the contemporary art is a very, very strong influence, because the artists, you know, continue to reflect what the society is like, what the concerns of people are in the society as of today. And it's a true reflection of China, more varied, more ample than, say, politics only, than business only. So it really helps me to understand China, and it helps me to remain open. You know, there's a saying in art that people can only understand their own generation of artists in the contemporary art. And I am not of this opinion. And actually, I am very interested to see what the younger and the youngest generations do. And I feel I have some understanding for what they do. And of course, now, for instance, the digital world, like there's this NFT, you know, influence all over now in the art world, just as one part of analog of digital, as one part of digital art. And so, say, my way learning about this is to maybe buy an NFT and to produce an NFT. So, you know, I have an understanding what this is about, what it would do to the current art world. So it keeps me, learning.
Chinese contemporary art, also with the support of you, have been going global back from the 1990s onward. They were in the different Biennale. Right now, you're in Hong Kong, attending the Art Basel Hong Kong. How do you see these occasions will be accurately reflect what is going on in the Chinese contemporary art? Or these are relatively selections more appealing to the curiosity of quote-unquote the others, those outside China?
Well, it's to a degree the latter. So, of course, the art fair is a marketplace, and it's for people to buy contemporary art. And the first impulse people buy art normally is to, you know, they have an apartment, they have a wall, so they will buy something they can live with. So that's still remains a large segment of such an art fair. The people who buy for, you know, what eventually may become furniture in their apartment, they may at some point, you know, notice it anymore. Then it's time to have something new, provided you can stay the course also financially. So then beyond that, of course, there is an art market and a marketplace for people who are deeper into art and want to see more sophisticated art, up to very large artworks. And that's all on offer somehow in an art fair. But of course, the art fair still is one segment only. Then there are the very big global type Documenta, Biennales, etc. And they have the tendency to show a slightly different art, which may be more complex, has more space to develop, etc., etc. So there are different worlds in the art world. But this art fair in Hong Kong is a very important art fair, the most important in Asia.
Now, these days, the West Kowloon Cultural District has become a well-known place for the rest of Asia and the world to see art related to China and from China. But back then, when you were making the decision to make a donation, there was nothing there 8 years ago. And there were ups and downs in the debates about whether there should be one place like that, how much funding it needed, and what M Plus it should be about, and the list goes on. Can you share with us what you went through and Now, when you reflect upon your decision to donate a huge chunk, thousands of work to the M+ in Hong Kong after decades of collecting Chinese contemporary art, what comes to your mind?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to see it in this great M+ museum in Hong Kong. And I think it's the best museum in the world at the moment. And it better be, because it's the newest, most recent, best architects. And the people of Hong Kong put a huge fund there to build it. So it's a great home for that part of my collection. And when I started the collection, and I noticed no one really collects in other than random way, I thought I want to build this collection which allows to read the storyline of contemporary art from its inception to today and find a home in China. Because to me it was clear, even though there was interest in London, New York, etc., it must be in China to be available to the Chinese people. Hong Kong is China, so I'm quite happy about the outcome.
Of course, during the process, you also see a lot of chaos in Hong Kong as a result of complexities. There were also debates about works to be shown, what should be appropriate or not. These, of course, are debates that's going on with exhibitions all over the world. But here in China, of course, it's very different perspectives. So as the person in the middle of it, how do you guarantee the integrity of yourself as a collector and the integrity of artists that you have collected works from and the integrity of your donation with your heart to China?
You have this type of debate in every country, in every jurisdiction. Of course, the criteria may be different, but art always has to live in a space with constraints. And of course, the constraints created by the national security law, et cetera, are there. But we cannot operate outside the law. So, you know, it's there. We have to adapt to it. And still, the people are very impressed with what they see in this exhibition, even under that constraint, you know, of what we will call censorship. They are very surprised how much can be seen in an exhibition in Hong Kong. And also, yeah, there is room to show things. And there's also some breathing space, if I may call it such, to what can be shown in the mainland. And we have to, of course, explore what that breathing space is. But yeah, we must remain within the law.
You have been, together with your wife, Rita, very welcoming to many visitors from China to your home. And whoever wants to know China, they want to visit your home, get to know China through your art and also talking to you. I really wonder how big a heart you and your family need to have in order to embrace all of these people with curiosity, with enthusiasm, and sometimes with frustrations.
Of course, it's rewarding for both sides, because for us also very interesting to see what the reactions are, be it of Chinese people coming from foreigners, coming from officials from China, coming of private collectors from China. You know, it's a diversity of reactions. Also in the exhibition here in Hong Kong, for me, this is a very moving moment. Sometime I lead the tour through the exhibits. And very often the people start to cry, the Chinese people, mainland people, they start to cry. I'm very moved. They say, well, I have no idea. This is, you know, we have this width and depth of art creation in China. Others, particularly moved, say, oh, I see my whole life mirrored in this art. I didn't know this exists. So, you know, I see my youth, I see my upbringing reflected in this art. So it's a very rewarding process, as it appears for both sides.
Some say, despite the efforts that we have been making, the communications between the East and West, especially at a time when you see the quote-unquote the paradigm change, still remains skin deep, particularly with the test of the pandemic and things related to it. How do you see that as someone who has been so keen in bringing the Chinese contemporary art to the world and learning through it about China?
Well, there were, shall we say, better moments on both sides than right now, but I'm very optimistic. And I think art can also cure some of the issues and can open, you know, the eyes of either side. So will it go beyond skin deep? That's a long-term issue. But I think the West has realized that globally, there is a culture, the Chinese culture, that is a match to the Western culture. And it starts to realize it may have to acquire more knowledge about that. And China makes an effort, although I think that that effort could still be made better on the Chinese side as well, to communicate what Chinese culture is about. So it takes a long time to get that each side, you know, will develop a full understanding. But it may happen.
A great conversation with Wally Sieg. People-to-people exchanges can be the real and resilient bridges, even over troubled water. A university singing group, the Yale Alley Cats from the U.S., is touring China now. And its members told me they have learned so much, not just on the stage, but in Beijing's alleys and on top of the Great Wall. I sat in their performance this week and they told me a lot about what they have discovered, from the alley cats in Beijing to a few thousand years of history of China.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All we know, all at our new concert is always very nice. That's why we come.
I really love it. Actually, it's something special. And you can imagine in Beijing and not here, actually.
And they learn the Chinese songs.
Yeah, that was incredible. Because
every sentence, right?
Yeah, the pronunciation was fine, actually. And the lyrics is completely different in China. So it was fantastic.
We are the Yale Alley Cats. We are in Beijing. Wo ai Beijing.
And white they love their Chinese audience so much, they want to bring their best to them. Even after the performance, some members are still rehearsing for the next concert. That's a beautiful song you just sang. Thank you so much. How are you enjoying your performance?
Yeah, we absolutely love it.
You have a spokesperson?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a beautiful space to perform in, first of all. The acoustics were wonderful.
This is actually my second time performing in this venue. I remember when I was really, really young, I think in primary school, I performed an excerpt from the opera Carmen with my choir together in the same venue. So it feels really, really special to be here the second time.
Revisit.
Revisiting it and bring all of my best friends from college and back to a venue that I'm really familiar with.
Amazing. What about for you?
I think my favorite part is always hearing the first chord of Muskrat Ramble, which is the first song that we sang tonight. Mm-hmm. And you hear that just ringing in the space and you know it's going to be a good concert.
How did it sound like?
She's the pride.
Only two of the four parts.
Impressive. So how are you trying to learn about the cultures in which you're performing while at the same time, you know, trying to understand what the audience demands and enthusiasm?
I think we've learned a lot about that through our performances. So I think one of the best parts of this tour has been learning some of the Chinese music that Yixiao brought for the group. So I know that back earlier, even last year, he had played Brightest Star in the Night Sky, which was one of the songs that we sang for us in the car, and told us how much it meant to him and how significant this song was. And so being able to learn that together and see how audiences respond, seeing how people know the song and kind of light up when they see that is really special. It's been awesome.
For me, I chose this song because this is the song that I play on repeat as I bike to school every day. It's also the song that sometimes the school plays as we are doing our the mid-class jogging, 跑操, and they will play this song constantly. I also know a lot of my friends during their hard times preparing for the 中考 or 高考, they also listen to this song, and it motivates them to really move on in hard times. I think this is a beautifully written song that really helps people to carry on in really difficult times, and that also helped me as well. 能否听清 那仰望的人心里的孤独和叹息。
So beautiful, it comes to the heart.
Yes, it really does.
Do you feel it also?
Definitely.
Even though the lyrics is in another language.
I think Absolutely. That kind of feeling is universal. You really feel those swells, and when we're crescendoing into it, and then some of the songs you've done, Let the World Be Filled with Love, has a key change, and you just feel how soaring that is and how beautiful that is.
And even you chose a very special song, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Yes.
That means also a lot to a lot of Chinese who got to know American culture and the music from different parts of the world over the past decades.
Yeah, Bridge Over Troubled Water is actually a really special song to the Alley Cats. It's something that we've been singing for over 20 years. And it's, I would say, a major part of, you know, one of the things that we think is the most special about the group. We are all some of each other's best friends, and we're lucky enough to travel around the world together and get to sing and experience other cultures. And I think a lot of us see each other as our bridges through, you know, the crazy travel hours and all the other times of just experiencing new things, and we're always able to be there for each other. So it's a very special song to us.
To bring your best friends to your hometown is something very special. You're a Beijing kid.
I am, yes. I grew up in Beijing for 18 years until I went to college, and I feel like the hometown tour part is my favorite part of the Alley Cats. We've been to Quinn's hometown in Denver, Colorado. We've also been to Logan's hometown last year. And really, you walk on the streets that your friends have walked on for their entire life. You meet the teachers that brought them up. You meet their parents. And you just really have such a deeper connection to all of your friends in the group. And I think that makes, that's why, like as Logan said, a lot of the group members, even after we graduate and we do different professions, we all are such a tight-knit community and friends for the rest of the life. At least I could personally say the Alley Cats are some of my best friends on campus. And I'm also really excited to show them to Beijing, to China, because China is also a place that has such a rich history, great food, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm a big foodie. And of course, a lot of our group members enjoy food as well. So even like last semester, before this tour was finalized, we were just talking about, you know, what food we're going to eat in China. And
Oh, you're already having previews.
We were planning, yeah.
But, you know, you guys are coming at a very challenging time. If you look at the bigger picture, whether it's geopolitics or trade or things like that, there's a lot of different things going on. But when you look at the audience, you know, they go with the flow of your music. What an interesting combination and contrast. What does that say to you?
I think it says that, number one, music is just such a powerful tool to bridge that divide. I think hearing a song like Bridge Over Troubled Water that everyone in the audience can relate to, and that also means so much to us, shows us there are things that we are just able to transcend through music and through community. And I think it's also showed us through touring in China that just exposing yourself to different cultures, doing that with friends, and for us meeting students and people our age has been really impactful in seeing what life is like around the world and really bridging those divides to see how you can come together.
We've had an incredible amount of cultural exchange on this trip. We have been showing so many different Chinese choirs and students American a cappella music, which is something that's really special to us, obviously, as a cappella singers. But we've also been taught how to do calligraphy. We were taught how to dye fabrics in a traditional Chinese way. And I think that cultural exchange has just been so special because you realize that they're like, we're all so much more similar than we might think. And when you get to exchange those cultural things, you realize that a lot of our core values are actually the same. And I think that's what's so important about being able to immerse yourself in somebody else's culture, is like you really get to build a relationship with an individual person. And I think that helps build understanding and relationship.
It could be summarized by the lyrics of Let the World Be Filled with Love. 我们珍存同一样的爱. We cherish and keep the same kind of love. I think music really is a way in which we can transcend boundaries, transcend different cultures, to bring different people together and find these connections. And deep down, we all have the same kind of core values and the same kind of yearning for love and the same kind of love that we also have for the world.
On this occasion, I think I need to wish all of you great success for the rest of your tour China and beyond.
Thank you so much.
Great energy in that conversation with a touring Beijing singing group coming from Yale University from the U.S. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Tian Wei. On behalf of my team, thanks for being with us.